Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home and we get to spend this time with you. Send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com, and you can always listen to us on a podcast. So you can, our show is on podcast. Go out to EWTN's Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Well, today we will be welcoming Scott Wieman to our show. Now, Scott is the founder and executive director of Catholic in Recovery, which is a community of men and women seeking freedom from a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. I think all of us should apply. He found freedom from alcoholism, drug addiction, and other compulsive behavior thanks to the rooms of a 12-step recovery groups and the saving grace of the Catholic Amen. Church. Scott is the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, and he holds a master's degree in clinical counseling from Point Loma Nazarene University. And he serves as a marriage and family therapist at Fiat Integrative Health in Nashville, Tennessee, where he lives with his wife and his beautiful three children. Today, he's going to be here to speak with us about Catholic in Recovery's newest book, The Recovery Rosary, and how integrating the spiritual wisdom of a 12-step recovery with the sacramental life of the Catholic Church can lead to hope and healing. I encourage you, go out to the website, CatholicInRecovery.com. You will be blessed, you'll be enriched, and you can also set the captives free.
I'm excited about this show so much, because it may be just the answer that you've been praying for. If you're wrestling with some of these things, various compulsions or drugs or alcohol, sexual addictions, those who love people that are struggling in this way, that the Lord has somehow, some way heard your cry, and that our faith, the Catholic faith, is about deliverance, redemption, healing, restoration. You're not alone. Go to CatholicInRecovery.com. It's going to be two great shows that we have today and Thursday, that the best may be yet to come in your life. The Lord has heard your cry. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Scott Wieman. Now, he is the founder and executive director of Catholic in Recovery. Go out to his website, CatholicInRecovery.com. Well, Scott, we are excited to have you with us today, and we want you first to tell our family a little bit about yourself, and then what inspired you to start Catholic in Recovery Beautiful Ministry.
Yeah, well, thank you both for having me. It's a pleasure to be sitting on this couch with you. And yeah, my story, involves years of struggle with addiction, alcoholism, drug addiction, other compulsive and addictive behaviors. Didn't just start off that way. Had a great childhood, great family. Towards the end of my high school, time in high school, it was actually within weeks of my confirmation, I took my first drink. Mm-hmm. Significant in memory. I recall walking to a friend's house with a friend who was back from college, a few years older than me. And as we were walking the railroad tracks in rural Wisconsin to this party, pulled out some lukewarm beers out of our cargo shorts. And he said to me, "Scott, don't think so much about what this is going to taste like, because it won't taste great at first, but just think about how good it will make you feel." I chased that feeling for 9 years. Alcohol, drugs, lust, food, gambling, other behaviors and substances, doing for me what really only God could do for me, and seeking God in all the wrong places. Some success in debate in high school brought me to New York City on a scholarship. That didn't last long, as really my priorities became seeking pleasure first and responsibilities a little bit later down the road, after some consequences, two DUIs, broken relationships, lost family relationships, lost esteem, really lost my sense of self. Made a move from Wisconsin, where I grew up, to San Diego in 2010. I was 25 years old, partly to stay in a relationship with a woman from a very Catholic family. I was willing to do whatever it took to stay in her good graces. We moved to San Diego, and really the problem was me. I was drinking regularly, using drugs on a regular basis, lying, manipulating, deceiving in order to get out of consequences. And really a year after that move, the show was up. She wanted no more to do with me. My life, you know, was promising at first, but just in my early 20s, really faced a lot of consequences and challenges. It was seemingly going nowhere. I hadn't finished school yet. And there was this day in October 2011 that I thought that I maybe could stay in her good graces if I just did the right thing. We had a very codependent relationship, and I was caught in another lie once more. And the look in her face when caught in this lie was just this, Scott, you are absolutely hopeless. You're never going to change. And she said exactly what I was feeling. Alcohol, drugs, other addictive behaviors and substances had become the greatest priority in my life, and shut out others in my life to pursue that. Now, this was a blessing. I drank myself to sleep that night. The next day, I took my little beach cruiser bike to Mission Bay in San Diego and pushed it through the heavy sand, pulled my phone out of my pocket, which seemed to weigh about 500 pounds, and made a few calls back home. A few close friends, my mom and my dad, to tell them what they already knew, that I had a problem and I needed help. And drank myself to sleep that night, but the next morning went to a 12-step recovery group. And I didn't have a lot of hope. I thought that I'm a complicated guy, a complex guy, I need complex solutions. good for them, but I didn't think that this was gonna work for me. But I had nowhere else to turn and was desperate. And I remember that morning walking into a 12-step meeting. It was on the second floor of an Episcopal church about three blocks from the beach. And I could hear laughter upstairs, actually, as I got to the stairwell. I thought, if these people have any idea what I'm going through, there's no reason for them to be laughing. I've got to be in the wrong place. Made my way up to the back corner of that room. We had a meeting. People were sharing, were kind of telling my story through their own story. And recall that afterwards, we got around in a circle, put our arms around each other's shoulders, and prayed the Lord's Prayer, one of the few prayers that I had known from my childhood. Grew up nominally Catholic, but that wasn't a big priority for our family. And this sensation of just being at home kind of swept over me, like I found my people. I didn't have a ton of time to sit and process that, as right afterwards, a man darted across the room. He looked me in the eyes and said, "I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again." And that was just subtly different from the way that my very concerned and loving family members and friends were speaking to me. But it was from this place of personal experience, and invited me to go get coffee with him immediately after the meeting. And we made that a routine. Recovery meeting in the morning, coffee, read through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the basic text of 12-step recovery, and cross-reference that with the Bible, and started to build really a foundation of faith and recovery to rebuild my life. So grateful. Yeah, that's really where everything turned around. These men and women who are part of my church life, my recovery life, helped to restore me back to life.
Wow. Did you go back to the Catholic Church then, or what did you do?
Yeah, day three of my sobriety. Okay. I got sober on a Monday and was in a Bible study on a Wednesday. Now, I got to be honest, my ambitions or motivations were partly to win back an ex-girlfriend that was very Catholic. I thought if I looked like a good Catholic boy for a little bit, she might take me back. She's got to take me back. That didn't happen. But I found their relationship with Christ and his disciples, and really found both freedom in the church and in 12-step recovery groups. And that created a pathway for new life, purpose, joy, all the things that I thought I was going to find in the bottle or in the drugs or in the lustful behavior, I found come to life through the 12 steps of recovery and the sacramental life of the church.
Thank God.
What that guy said to you is just so incredibly powerful. I mean, you know the grip of these addictions on your life. Yeah. You know what the girlfriend said, you're never going to change. And you may have been saying that to yourself. But this guy comes up to you and he says something like, "I know exactly how you feel."
Yeah.
And you never have to drink again. It's like, that's hopeful, but it's like, I don't know how that's going to happen. But this guy's really saying it. You needed to hear that. I don't know if anybody else could say that to you except this guy that just walked through this.
I was intrigued. that he had what I wanted, yeah.
Right.
It would have been probably the last of the people if you had put all the people in that meeting.
Right.
Said, Scott, go ahead, choose who's going to save your life today. Mm-hmm. He would have been among the last people I would have chosen.
Mm-hmm.
But he saved my life, and he was delivering to me something that only he could.
Right.
And through his experience. And that subtle, I know how you feel.
Yeah.
You don't ever have to drink again. It didn't seem optional to me prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to cut through all of the shame and mm-hmm. fear and resentment and hopelessness
right.
to just crack open the door of grace. And mm-hmm. of course, from there, God blew it off of its hinges.
And all the lies, mm-hmm. the lies that you've been living in. And really, an only person who could say that to you is the person who's been where you are,
yeah.
right? And you say, I'm also in recovery. Yeah. I've been where you are. I know how you feel, and I'm no longer that person,
yeah.
and there's hope for you. Only someone who has been saved could throw another lifeline, right?
Absolutely.
And you grabbed it.
Yeah. I think I see it as kind of recovery is like this stuck in a well, and you know, that hand that reaches down to grab you, helps pull you up. They're holding on to someone else who's pulling them up, and there's going to be a time very soon where you're called to reach your hand down and pick someone else up.
Yeah. Right.
The man who saved my life would say very regularly and very early on, never underestimate your ability to help the alcoholic or addict who still suffers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, as we Catholics, Christians, how do we answer that call? How do we recognize perhaps the very unique authority that we have to share the good news with other people? And it has continued to bear fruit in my life. You know, sharing, I think that every great gift in life, we can only keep if we're willing to give it away.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith, my recovery, life itself. The best gifts in life are those that we are called to give away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'd have to speed up a long way. I'm very interested in things that took place, but this show is only so long. So how did Catholic in recovery, how did you connect with that or start that, or what's that about?
Yeah, so I mentioned, you know, both the Catholic Church and 12-step recovery, life-saving entities that seem to be running parallel, you know, in just the message, the tone, the spirit of surrender and shedding aside those things that keep us away from God so that we can be of maximum service to Him and our fellow brothers and sisters. The church was saving my life. I thought that I also realized that the church could learn a bit from 12-step recovery groups in the way that we share a message of hope and are of service to each other, and in some ways can get really honest and humble with each other to just give that same message. I know exactly where you've been. Follow me. I know the direction to water. And at the same time, many people in 12-step recovery groups who are longing for a deeper relationship with their higher power.
I just want to say something here, because you were saying, you know, the complex guy that you are and how you're going to, but you know, I mean, it's like the first step is like admitting, like, my life is totally out of control. It's not like out of control. I'm totally out of control, and I can't do this. I need help.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, that's the gospel, right?
That's right. We're powerless over fill in the blank.
She cuts through a lot of stuff and says you may have heard stuff all through your life, but this is where it all begins. Yep. You're out of control.
And to make it applicable to all of us, I think we can all be in that step one place of we admitted we are powerless over sin. We might get specific about that. We may not. That our lives have become unmanageable.
Yeah.
And the 12 steps is an excellent blueprint to really live, to surrender that control that we're longing for, to perhaps even reconsider who is God in relationship to us and who am I in relationship to God. You know, those in recovery, I might introduce myself as, my name's Scott, I'm an addict and an alcoholic, but that's not how I know my identity.
Right.
I've come to know my identity as Scott, God's beloved son. And it's through that transition. We don't just go from powerless to powerful, but it's typically through some kind of spectrum of hopeless to powerless to hopeful to then we know where we can access the power of God and surrender to that power every day.
Yeah. Right. And the beautiful thing of that freedom is we think, the illusion is we think we're in control when really the addiction is in control and we give up everything for the addiction, right?
Absolutely.
Where in recovery, you give up that one thing and then you have for everything else. And the biggest thing is your freedom.
Yes.
It's like, no, my sin, and yesterday, even this on Sunday's reading was, let every sin that entangles you, right, be free from that, because sin is couching at your door. And it's like, we all need to wake up and smell the coffee and go, What is my battle? What is my struggle? Where is my surrender today? Mm-hmm. You know, because whether it's our thought life, whether it's how we respond and way we speak, everything has to come under the authority of Christ, that mm-hmm. we can be fully free and the best version of ourselves.
So speak to us about the integration. 12 steps is so powerful.
Yeah.
But the faith and how you kind of combine these things together.
Yeah, so Catholic in Recovery really started as a website. You know, a few years into my recovery, I found that that the church could learn from 12-step recovery mm-hmm. groups. People were longing for a deeper relationship with their higher power, started writing articles related to faith and 12-step right. recovery, topics that overlap the two. 6 to 8 months into that, got an email from someone who had read an article or an interview that I had done and asked if I was interested in doing some more writing. That turned out to be the 12 Steps mm-hmm. and the Sacraments, my first book published in 2017. And from there, I was doing some local speaking in San Diego, had really outlined kind of the overlap between the 12 steps and the sacraments, steps 1, 2, and 3 with the baptism and this really seeking this power greater than ourselves, who we know as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 6 and what St. Paul writes about baptism, a lot of that is kind of dying to self, giving up our old selves so mm-hmm. that we can live anew in Christ. Steps 4 through 9, probably the most blatant overlap between the sacramental life and the 12 steps. Whereas we, you know, prepare for a confession or prepare for a mm-hmm. thorough moral inventory, mm-hmm. share that with God, ourselves, and another human being, ask Him to remove defects of character which stand in the way of serving Him and others, and then make a full penance. We call that mm-hmm. amends in recovery. Mm-hmm. Made a list of all persons we had harmed, become willing to make amends to them all, and then in step 9, making those direct amends except for whenever to do so would injure them or others. And that's the fullness of the sacrament of mm-hmm. confession, from preparation to penance and reconciling, you know, bringing restoration to relationships where we had done damage.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere in there, isn't there, you know, that make a decision about someone that you can share this with, you can confess it with.
Yes.
And I think that fits pretty well into the Catholic context as well as a layman that you could share with. There's nothing like a priest
yes.
who can absolve you.
Yes, so when integrated with our faith, you mm-hmm. know, a step 5, sharing that with our sponsor, we would also encourage someone to go to the sacrament of confession and do mm-hmm. a thorough confession. Mm-hmm. Steps 10 and 11 are kind of our daily bread type of steps. Whereas we continue to take moral inventory and when wrong, promptly admit it, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. No better way to maintain conscious contact with God than through the sacrament of the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And then in step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we gave the message away. We shared the message with others and continue to practice these principles in all of our affairs, much like we're called to do through mm-hmm. our confirmation and go mm-hmm. make disciples of all nations and share mm-hmm. the good news.
So powerful. We're going to hold you over for the final segment. Mm-hmm. I hope you're feeling hopeful, mm-hmm. you know, for yourself, if you're under the control of one of these addictions or compulsions, or you love somebody who may be, that CatholicInRecovery.com is for you. So you want to go to that, get all the information is right there. This is a day of great hope. You don't have to be in this condition all the days of your life, unless you continue to somehow go with that flow of what's going on. And you got a choice to make as best you can make with many people who want to help you. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away. Wrapping up our conversation with Scott Wieman, founder of Catholic in Recovery. What's the scope of this ministry now and the vision?
Yeah, so we started our first Catholic in Recovery group in 2017. I was doing some speaking at a local parish in San Diego, a 4-week series. The best part was when I was done talking, other people had a chance to share their experience, strength, and hope related to addiction or challenges with addiction or loved ones' challenges with addiction. And clearly, we need to keep bringing these people together. So we started our first Catholic in Recovery meeting, bringing people together with a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments related to alcohol, drugs, food, lust, gambling, technology, codependency, mm-hmm. more on and on. That started, yeah, in San Diego. Today we have about a little over 200 active in-person and virtual Catholic in Recovery meetings mm-hmm. throughout,
thank
I think,
God.
42 states in the country, Canada, Mexico, getting into Europe soon. Virtual meetings serve people around the world. Mm-hmm. We're going to have our first virtual recovery summit in September. Find more information about that on our website, catholicinrecovery.com. Mm-hmm. And really trying to unite the recovery efforts of those who are in the church, who are, you know, seeking freedom from addictions and compulsions and unhealthy attachments, so that we have freedom to love, mm-hmm. serve, right. know God, neighbor, mm-hmm. and ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's through that purpose, that joy I get to find every single day. It's such a gift. And to pass it along to others and see the light turn on in them is awesome. A guy, John, comes to mind in Florida, who's struggled with alcohol and drugs for quite some time. Father with young kids, several kids, and just within the last 2 years, finding Catholic in recovery, mm-hmm. finding freedom and new life, serving in recovery meetings, and mm-hmm. being of service to his family, to his local parish, is so awesome to see just how quickly things can change and yeah. transform within people who were once, like myself, hopeless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just so encouraging, and to take the next step to be a part of the solution for somebody else. Thank God we have you for tomorrow. I feel like we're just scratching the surface of this, but it's so very, very hopeful. Hope that you are encouraged today. And this is really nothing more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's done a great work through the 12 steps, but having it wedded and empowered by the sacraments of the church, by the Holy Rosary, by all that the church teaches, and bringing these things together. As Scott was saying, it's not only hopeful for your own deliverance and for those that you love, but that you get on with the work of pulling somebody else out of the mm-hmm. cistern, just like Jeremiah was thrown into the cistern, sinking in the mud. And these three guys went to the king and said, you know, it's really not about what these other people are saying. And he says, the three of you go and rescue him. Pull him out of the mud. And I pray to Almighty God that's what's going to happen for you. It's going to happen for the one that you love. You have mm-hmm. hope. You don't have to go this way. There are people that understand what you're going through. You never have to do this again. Really? How does that work? Mm. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and a good way, a good path, empowered by the life and teaching of the church. God bless you and all of your loved ones. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now. That's great. Thanks.